I'll give you just a second to turn there and ask you to stand for the reading of the word if you're able. Matthew chapter 21, verses 10 and 11 says, "And when he was coming to Jerusalem, all the city was moved, saying, 'Who is this?' And the multitude said, 'This is Jesus, the prophet of Nazareth of Galilee.'" Hallelujah. Amen. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for your word. Lord, I thank you for each and every person here tonight, Lord. And I thank you for this opportunity, Lord, to come and share your word. Lord, I pray that you'll just let your anointing rest in this place tonight. Lord, I pray that you'll just have your way, Lord. Let your Holy Ghost have his way in this place, that you'll speak to our hearts, Lord, like you've spoke to my heart. And Lord, I thank you for what you're going to do. I pray that souls will be touched. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You can be seated. We've already heard several different references tonight about the cross, about the blood, about the Holy Week. You know, this week is referred to as the Holy Week or the Passion Week. And, you know, I don't ever want to not be thankful for the cross.
That's right.
I mean, I always want to honor the cross and what Jesus did on the cross and for the blood. You know, if it wasn't for the cross, if it wasn't for that ultimate sacrifice, for that finished work, our faith would be useless.
That's right.
We would be no different from any other religion, no different from any of these other false gods or anything like that. But I'm thankful tonight to serve a risen Savior.
Yes.
Amen. This last Sunday, we celebrated Palm Sunday. And, you know, when Jesus came into the city during his triumphal entry, you know, the people were crying, "Hosanna, Hosanna," which means save us, save now. You know, they were looking for a Savior to deliver them from the Romans, but that wasn't quite the plan that God had at the time.
Right.
He was sending his Son, the Savior, to save the world from their sins. You know, when Jesus made his triumphal entry into Jerusalem, he was fulfilling a prophecy that was made hundreds of years before by the prophet Zechariah in Zechariah chapter 9, verse 9. It said, "Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, thy king cometh unto thee. He is just and having salvation, lowly and riding upon an ass, upon a colt, the foal of an ass." You know, the text that I opened up with, Matthew chapter 21, verses 10 and 11, it took place when Jesus made that triumphal entry. You know, this text, it had the question in it, "Who is this?" And then it was answered by Jesus, the prophet of Nazareth. You know, to some, he was just a prophet. To some, they thought he was going to be, you know, their king to deliver them from the Romans. You know, some thought he was going to be a great ruler to come and set up a kingdom. You know, he was, and he still is, Jesus, the Son of God, who was and is and who is to come. Amen. You know, following that triumphal entry came several things. It came the cleansing of the temple. And then there was the establishing of his authority. And then he began preaching and sharing parables throughout Jerusalem. New parables such as the parable of the two sons, the parable of the wicked husbandman, the parable of the marriage feast, the parable of the fig tree. And we have the parable of the faithful and the unfaithful servant. We have the parable of the 10 virgins. And then we also have the parable of the talents. And there were several other parables that I haven't listed. But you know, Jesus, you know, he shared these parables with the people there. You know, he was preaching and teaching them of things to come as well. And you know, Jesus went on to address taxes and tithes. I had a guy working with me a while back, and he said, "You read your Bible?" And I said, "Yes, I do, every day." I said, "I read it before you get here on this job site every morning." And he goes, he was just trying to butter me up a little bit. He was wanting some extra money. And he said, "I got the verse of the day." I said, "Verse of the day. Okay, what is it?" And he said, "Bring your, how do you say this word?" I said, "Tithes." "Oh, bring your tithes to the storehouse, Malachi." I said, "Okay." I said, "You've been in the Word, I can tell." I said, "You can't even pronounce tithes. I can tell you ain't been to church." And I asked him, I said, "You know what tithes are?" He said, "I don't know, but it must be good." I said, "Well, if you don't pay them, you're robbing God." And I said, "It's a tenth of all that you earn that you give back to the Lord." He said, "A tenth?" I said, "Yes, sir, a tenth." But anyways, Jesus addressed taxes and he addressed tithes. He also, you know, shared the greatest commandment, which is love the Lord your God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. And then love your neighbor as yourself. You know, if you cover those two bases, you can pretty much rest assured the other, I mean, the Ten Commandments will fall into place behind those. The sins and the woes of the scribes and the Pharisees, he also addressed that. And then he talked about signs of the end times. He talked about the rapture, the great tribulation, and the second coming. You know, next we move on. You know, he went on addressing all these things. And then the next day was the Lord's Supper. You know, Judas, he had already betrayed Jesus. He had already, well, not betrayed him completely, but he had already begun to betray him. He had already been paid that 30 pieces of silver to betray Jesus. You know, and then Jesus, he also tells Peter at that time that he would deny him three times. And, you know, what did Peter say? No, I would never do that. Never. I'll never deny you. But, you know, Jesus told him that. And it did come to pass. You know, then we read about, you know, Jesus going to the Garden of Gethsemane, which would be, I don't know, exact timeline during the Holy Week, but that would probably be about now, there on Wednesday, maybe Thursday, I don't know for sure, but different commentaries say different days. But there in the Garden of Gethsemane, he went on to pray, and the disciples, they didn't quite go all the way. They stayed behind and slept. You know, it's such a dire time. They stayed there and slept as he prayed. And the Bible talks about how that his sweat became as great drops of blood that he prayed so earnestly and so heavily. He prayed, you know, Father, take this cup from me. Lord, let your will, you know, be done. You know, Luke chapter 22, verses 41 through 44 says, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. And there appeared an angel unto him from heaven, strengthening him. And being in agony, he prayed more earnestly. And his sweat was as it were great drops of blood falling down to the ground. You know, I prayed pretty hard for some things before, but I've never prayed to that point where that I've had sweat as drops of blood running to the ground. You know, imagine the weight, the weight of the world, the weight of the sin of the world was on his shoulders. You know, he was preparing to do something that no man could ever do. He was preparing, you know, for something great. You know, from there, Jesus, he's betrayed and then he's arrested. He stands trial, he's beaten, and then he's tortured beyond recognition. You know, imagine the pain, the agony that he went through, you know, for me and for you. You know, Sister Faye talked about the bread, and, you know, that was his body being broken. You know, no movie, no book, no anything could ever depict what could accurately depict what he went through. I know there are movies that are pretty gruesome about it, but it could never depict the actual pain, the agony, and the suffering that he went through that day. You know, I could never imagine. You know, and then after that, he was crucified on the old rugged cross. You know, I'm thankful, so thankful for that finished work.
That's right.
Of the cross. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for the blood.
Yes.
The blood that washes our sins away.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus, for freely giving your life to save mine.
Yes.
Heard somebody the other day trying to argue that with me, said that it was pretty much suicide. No, he freely gave his life.
Yes.
He gave his life to save mine, to save yours, to save that person that was saying something as dumb as that.
Yeah.
You know, he, oh my goodness, he gave his life so that we can live with him eternally. You know, he paid a debt that we could never pay.
That's right.
You know, I run into people that have some pretty great debts, and they do some crazy things to try to pay those debts. But, you know, he paid a debt that I could never pay.
Amen.
He owed a debt that I could never pay. Or I owed a debt that I could never pay.
Yeah. Right.
And he paid it. He paid it in full.
Yes.
Amen. I love that. Paid in full.
Right.
You know, thank you, Jesus, also for conquering death and hell and the grave. For he is risen again, and he is alive forevermore.
Hallelujah.
Amen. You know, we can never thank him enough. He is worthy of all the glory, all the honor, and all the praise.
Amen.
You know, all these other gods, they're dead. Muhammad's dead. He ain't coming back.
Right.
You can go find his bones in the ground. You know, Buddha, he's still dead. You can find his bones too, I'm sure, if you looked hard enough. You know, all these other men who have claimed to be gods are dead. And then you have all these gods that were even made up. Not even going to go there. But, you know, Jesus, he rose again.
That's right.
He's the risen Son of God. There's no bones in his grave. He's the risen Son of God, and he is alive, and he's alive forevermore. You know, the sad thing is that there are churches this coming Sunday for Easter, for Resurrection Sunday, that are going to be packed out. You know, they just want people. They want attendance. They want numbers. You know, and they've already said that they're not going to mention anything about the blood, the resurrection, or Calvary, because they don't want to offend anybody that's not a Christian. I heard that on the news the other day, and I said, what kind of crazy stuff is this? Who in the world? Not going to name any names, but Stephen Furtick. That explains it. But, you know, to imagine all the people who fall into this trap, all the people who are deceived. You know, it's all about the blood.
Amen.
It's all about Calvary. It's all about the cross. It's all about the mercy that flowed down that old rugged tree. It's all about grace. It's all about sacrifice.
Yes.
Amen. So tonight, who is this? That question. Do you know him? And looking back at our text in Matthew chapter 21 and verse 10, you know, it says, and when he was coming to Jerusalem, all the city was moved and saying, who is this? And they answered by saying that he was a prophet. But like I said a while ago, he was so much more than just a prophet.
Amen.
He's the Son of God, and he's sitting at the right hand of the Father, making intercession for you and for me. When I pray, he intercedes for me. When you pray, he intercedes for you. He's talking to the Father for you.
Right.
You know, I don't have to go to a priest and think his prayers are going to reach heaven.
Amen.
Jesus is that mediator between God and man.
Yes.
I'm so thankful that the veil was torn, that we have that direct communication.
Amen.
Amen. I'm glad tonight that I know someone who knows the Father.
Yes.
I know Jesus who talks to God for me. I'm so glad tonight for that. I know someone who knows someone. Anybody ever heard somebody say that? Well, I know somebody that knows somebody.
Yeah.
How are you going to get there? Well, I know somebody that knows somebody. They'll get us in.
Yeah.
Heard the story of a dad and his two sons that were going to go to the football game. And I think it was 1993. I don't remember what bowl game it was, but it was Alabama playing. And they were playing in New Orleans. And this dad, he took his two sons there. The two sons had tickets, and the son said, Dad, how are you going to get in? You're going to listen to it out in the parking lot, or what you going to do? He goes, I'll find somebody. I'm sure I know somebody who knows somebody. So he tried, you know, tickets for several hundred and some even thousands of dollars. And he said, oh, don't worry, boys. I'll find somebody that knows somebody. I'm sure I know a lot of people around here. He said, my name's Pookie. One of them old Cajun guys. He said, my name's Pookie, and I'm going to find my way in there. Don't worry. But that was his words to his son. I know somebody. I'm sure I can find somebody who knows somebody. So anyways, you know, they went in. Their tickets were in the nosebleed section because they, you know, they had the cheap tickets. And old Pookie, he saw, some kind of custodial worker outside bringing the trash can in and held the door for him, and he slipped right on in behind him. Anyways, he slipped right on in, and there was the team going into the locker room. He just ran right on in behind the team, and he was an Alabama fan, even though he was a Cajun guy. And he was just, you know, patting the team. Hey, good, you know, ready, come on, guys, come on, come on. And when the team ran out on the field, he ran right out with them. Stayed right on the sidelines with them. Whole game, you know, they'd make a play, he'd come up, pat him on the back. Hey, good job, buddy, good job. Nobody even knew who he was. And, I looked it up. I found it a while back. I tried to find it the other day, but there was an ESPN clip from 1993. Who was this mystery man? Nobody knew who he was, but he told his sons, he said, I'm sure I'll find somebody. I'm sure I'll know somebody that knows somebody that can get me in there. But anyways, when I hear those words, I think about that story.
Yeah.
I know someone who knows someone. Years ago, it's been about 27 years ago now, I used to like to fish. I mean, I still like to fish. But I've always liked to bass fish. That's always been my favorite kind of fishing. I don't know if any of y'all ever bass fish or like to bass fish, but me and Pete, we get pretty competitive about it sometimes. But there was a man that came to church that Sunday, and he got saved that day, and, you know, we got to talking, and after, you know, came back several weeks in a row, we got to talking about fishing, asked him where he worked, and he told me, you know, he worked on a farm, and was telling me about all these big old bass out there. You know, we became pretty good friends, and we're still friends to this day. But anyways, he invited me to go bass fishing with him. And he, you know, like I said, he worked on a farm, so he had permission from the owner of that farm to take me out there to those lakes. So we went one Sunday after church. He said, you know, church started at 6:30 back then, and we had, you know, a couple hours. He said, let me take you out there. We'll go give it a try. So, man, let's go. So we went out there, and man, we loaded up. We caught a bunch of bass, big bass. I mean, bigger than anything I'd ever caught before. I mean, before that, I only caught, you know, the little ones, but that day we caught the big ones. We had the monsters. You know, we didn't have cell phones back then. No digital cameras or anything like that either. You know, that was the good old days. It was a whole lot more peaceful, trust me. You know, we just had we had those little Kodak, wind up, you know, you twist a little thing on the side, you only got 24 pictures, and you hope for the best that they turn out. You know, we took all kinds of pictures, you know, and then I was at school a few days later, and, you know, done made some new friends, and I was in 10th grade then, just had my driver's license not too long before that. You know, I had all them pictures. Back then, you know, now you can take your phone out, and like I was showing Ashley and Amelia a while ago, showing her them, you know, them wedding pictures, and we can take our phone out now and got the camera rolling there, and we can go through 11,000 pictures, you know, like nothing. But back then, you know, we just carried around these little photo albums, you know, all us good old boys. That's what we called ourselves. And we had all our hunting pictures, our fishing pictures, our four-wheeler pictures, and our truck pictures. You know, we had all our pictures that we would show everybody, you know, show them our big buck that we... They weren't so big, really. But anyways, you know, we would keep that book of pictures in our backpack or wherever, and we would always show it each other. So I was showing my new friend. I said, man, check out these bass I caught the other day. And he's like, man, those are big. Those are monsters. And we got to talking. He said, well, where'd you catch them? I said, man, I can't really tell you. You know, if you're a good fisherman, you're not going to really give your location. Other people might try to get in on it, you know. So I was talking to him about it, and he's like, well, you know, he said, man, that sounds like a really good place. He said, where was it? I said, well, you know, I know somebody that knows somebody. He got me into this place, and man, we wore him out. I said, man, it's really nice. It's a fine place. I said, monster trophy, wall hanger bass just swim around all day out there. I said, man, you can catch them easy. Lo and behold, it wasn't his dad that owned the farm. So I knew someone that knew someone, but then that day, I knew the someone.
Yeah.
And I got permission to go anytime that I wanted. So anyways, going from that, there are three different stories that I want to share with you tonight in the Word of God that might help us grow as a church and also as children of God. I'd like for you to look with me again in the book of Luke, chapter 11. I'm going to read verses 1 through 4. You know, how many of you can say the Lord's Prayer? You ain't got to raise your hand, but you know, if you've been in church any length of time, you can say the Lord's Prayer. You know, so tonight, we're going to read the account of it in the book of Luke. It says, and it came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray. And John also taught his disciples. And he said unto them, when ye pray, say, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, as in heaven, so in earth. Give us this day, give us day by day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins. For we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. You know, the Lord's Prayer is a very familiar passage. You know, I'm sure we all know it or we're very familiar with it. I heard the story the other day about it, that there were these two guys, Brother Corey probably heard the same story. If listen to Times Square Church any lately. But there was these two guys, and one of them said, "You know, I bet you $10 you can't say the Lord's Prayer." Another guy, he quickly says, "Now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. If I die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take. Amen." Other guy pulls out $10, said, "Man, I didn't think you could do it." It's important that you know the Word of God, because evidently neither one of those guys did. You know, we all are familiar with it, but it's that right after this account of the Lord's Prayer that I want to talk about. So in verses 5 through 10, in Luke chapter 11 says, "And he said unto them, Which of you shall have a friend, and shall go unto him at midnight, and say unto him, Friend, lend me 3 loaves, for a friend of mine in his journey has come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. And he from within shall answer and say, Trouble me not, the door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed, I cannot rise and give thee. I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him because he is his friend, yet because of his importunity, he will rise and give him as many as he needeth. And I say unto you, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh, receiveth, and he that seeketh, findeth, and to him that knocketh, it shall be opened." So there was this man who had a friend who was on a journey, and he stopped at his house at midnight. You know, this man was no doubt hungry, you know, traveling at midnight. So the man went to another friend, and he asked that friend for 3 loaves of bread. You know, keep in mind, it's at midnight. At midnight, most of us are usually sacked out at midnight. Most of us are out like a light. Right. I used to be a light sleeper, especially when we lived in the middle of town across from the old police station. I was a very light sleeper. There was always something going on. Random people stopping by at all hours of the night. You never know what was going to happen. But now, I don't know if it happens when you join the 40s club or what, but I can outsnore anybody. I can outsnore a chainsaw, but I can sleep through anything now if I need to. I think I can sleep with my eyes open too. But anyways, there was this man who was on a journey, and he was in need, and he came to a friend and he asked for food, but his friend had nothing to give him. He had nothing, but he knew someone that did. So he went to his friend and he knocked and he asked and he begged, and his friend gave, but it wasn't because of his need, but because it was for his importunity. Importunity means to press or to urge with troublesome persistence. He kept knocking. He kept asking. His children, you know, they were already asleep. It was midnight. He was already asleep. But he arose and he gave because of his persistency and because of the urgency of his need. When we're in need, it's good to know somebody who knows somebody.
That's right.
Who has the answer.
That's right.
I may not have food or money, or things that you need, but I know Jesus who can go to the Father.
Amen.
For you.
Right.
And you can call on me at any time. You know, I know Jesus who knows the Father, who is Jehovah Jireh, who is the supplier of all of our needs. He is faithful, and he is able, and he will not leave you, and he will not forsake you.
Yeah.
Your Brother Eddie, he's preached that message several times. He's preached it all around the world. It's midnight, and I'm begging for bread. You know, I've heard it many times, you know, the great miracle that came from that. Several years ago, Brother Corey talked about it the other night. He mentioned it. You know, Brother Jason Stidham preached on that same text. That night, Brother Corey, he got his breakthrough, and I think I went home with 13 loaves of bread. But I'm glad tonight to know somebody who knows somebody that has the answer that can supply our need. Moving on to Acts chapter 3. Verses 1 through 8 says, "Now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. And a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they had laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple. Who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, and asked an alms. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, Look on us. And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something from them. And then Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and his ankle bones received strength. And he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. Amen. Praising God. You know, I don't ever want to go without praising God. I've been thanking him for so much lately. He is so worthy to be praised. No matter what's happening in your life, no matter how bad things get, he's still worthy of our praise. Amen. But Peter and John, they were on their way to the temple that day to pray. And they came across this man who was lame from birth. Always been lame. He was carried to the temple daily, and he was begging for alms. Alms simply meaning money or food, something to sustain him. But here comes Peter and here comes John, freshly filled with the Holy Ghost. You know, one chapter earlier, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee. And he said, but such as I have, give I thee. They didn't have money. They didn't have food to sustain him another day, but they knew someone that knew the healer.
That's right.
Who could heal his troubles away. Amen. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. So tonight, if you're in need of a miracle, there is one who can deliver you from a helpless
That's
situation.
Right. Yes.
Amen. He's still a miracle working God. He's still a deliverer. He's still a healer.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I don't have the healing. I don't have the answer, but I know the one who does. Amen. He is still able. He is still the same as he was back then. And we're going to look at one more example. Let's look back to 2 Kings chapter 5, verses 1 through 3. This is a story about Naaman. It says, now Naaman, the captain of hosts of the king of Syria, was a great man with his master, and honorable, because by him the Lord had given deliverance unto Syria. He was also a mighty man in valor, but he was a leper. A great man of valor, but he was a leper. And the Syrians had gone out by companies and had brought away captive out of the land of Israel a little maid. And she waited on Naaman's wife. And she said unto her mistress, would God, my Lord, were here with the prophet that is in Samaria, for he would recover him of his leprosy. In one of my study Bibles that I was reading in, the note under verse 3 says, in effect, she said, I know somebody who knows somebody who knows what to do for you. This little girl, she knew a prophet who was Elisha, who knew God. She knew somebody who knew somebody that could heal him of his leprosy. And Kirsten, if you want to go ahead and come to the piano. You know, tonight, I know that we have a lot of needs here in this house. You know, I have needs in my life. My family's at home sick tonight. They need a healing. And I know as a church, we need a healing. Some of you tonight, I know that you need healings in your bodies as well. And I know we all have lost loved ones. I know that we all know people who are also hurting and who are sick, battling cancer, going through so many different things. You know, there are some of us tonight who also may need God's provision. Some may need deliverance. Some may even need salvation. Some may be seeking the baptism of the Holy Ghost tonight. You know, I don't know what your need is, but I know someone who knows someone who has the answer tonight. You know, whatever the need, I don't know. I don't have all the answers, but I know someone who does. So tonight, if you need the Lord, if you have any kind of need, or you know somebody that has a need, if you have lost loved ones, whatever the need, I want to open these altars tonight. And come meet us in these altars and let him do a work in your life.